If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that Joe and I are slowly warming up to social media, but it certainly isn't our comfort zone. I'm a millennial, and I feel like posting online should come a lot more naturally, but it just doesn't. Video is intimidating. Figuring out where your audience is and how to effectively communicate with them is a challenge. Growth can seem to take forever. And just when you think you've cracked the code, an algorithm changes. So what are you supposed to do? Well, today we're joined by Lauren Litt of Lil Shameless Plug, who runs a business helping entrepreneurs who hate social media, but know they need it for their business. Sound familiar? We invited her on to discuss things like what solopreneurs often do wrong when it comes to their social media strategy, how solopreneurs should approach social media differently than larger companies, how to become more confident on social media, especially with video, and whether or not you need to post like an influencer to be successful. We talk about this and so much more, so be sure to tune in. You're listening to The Aspiring Solopreneur, the podcast for those just taking the bold step or even just thinking about taking that step into the world of solo entrepreneurship. My name is Carly Reese, and my co-host Joe Rando and I are your guides to navigating this crazy but awesome journey as a company of one. We take pride in being part of Lifestar, a digital hub dedicated to all aspects of solopreneurship that has empowered and educated countless solopreneurs looking to build a business that resonates with their life's ambitions. We help people work to live, not live to work. And if you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, this is not the show for you. So if you're eager to gain valuable insights from industry experts on running a business the right way the first time around, or want to learn from the missteps of solopreneurs who've paved the way before you, then stick around. We've got your back because flying solo in business doesn't mean you're alone. Okay, so before we jump into this episode, I just have to share this new free offer we have called the Solo Suite Starter. Being a solopreneur is awesome, but it's not easy. It's hard to get noticed, and most business advice is for bigger companies, and you're all alone. Until now. Lifestar's Solo Suite gives you free education, community, and tools to build a thriving one-person business. So, if you're lacking direction, having a hard time generating leads, having trouble keeping up with everything you have to do, or even if you're just lonely running a company of one, be sure to check out Solo Suite Starter at lifestarwith2rs.com and click on Products and Pricing at the top menu. It's the first one in the dropdown. Again, it's totally free, so check it out at lifestarwith2rs.com. Click on Products and Pricing, and it's the first one in the menu. Hope to see you there. Lauren, we are so happy to have you today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, and so it's funny because we've had quite a few people on here talking about social media. And what I really want to get to today, and we'll have a few other random questions in there. I'm laughing because offline we kept talking about Joe Rando, and I'm saying random. Yes. But the big thing for today is confidence. I'm a millennial. I lack that confidence with social media. For some reason, I didn't get that bug with our generation. You might be younger than me, but maybe you're not.
I'm an elder millennial, actually.
I'm an elder millennial. Joe, are you aware of this term that we are now called elder millennial?
Yes.
Well, I think you're breaking up the millennials because what is it from
81, I think.
Or 81. Okay, 81
yeah,
to 90.
Yeah, and it's because you're an elder millennial if you actually ever like dialed a phone.
I'm an elder millennial. Cool.
Joe's millennial.
And then had to switch into the phase. So, yeah.
Exactly. I am right there. That term for me is right up there with geriatric pregnancy.
Really?
Terms just need to go. I don't like the name. I don't like those phrases. I feel like we need to rebrand.
I love it because I feel like it separates me from the millennials when people complain about them. I'll be like, well, I'm an elder millennial, so no, that's not me.
I have years of wisdom beyond
years.
Well,
can I claim to be a young boomer?
Yes, you can.
Yes, take it.
Yes, you can.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it.
Well, Lauren, let's just dive right in. I mean, there are a gazillion questions that can be asked when it comes to social media, but I guess you've worked with solopreneurs, you understand the landscape. Let's start off with like the love-hate relationship. What do most solopreneurs do wrong before we get into this whole confidence thing? What just pains you when you see it?
I don't know that it pains me, but I feel bad that people come in with this misconception, which is that, oh my gosh, I won't be able to use social media because I don't have 10,000 followers. I'm never going to get these platforms to work for me. right? They really focus on vanity metrics and, oh, I can't put out 10 pieces of content every day, so therefore I can't do this. And those are the wrong things to focus on, because very few people are actually going to get that 10,000, 100,000 followers. But you can have a micro niche account, which is 3,000 to 5,000 followers, and have a really successful solopreneur business.
Mm-hmm. I think that is such a great point. And just for our listeners who are just getting started, you said vanity metrics.
Can you let's clarify really quick
what those are for people that are familiar?
So we all know what vanity means, right? It's when we're focused on ourselves. So when we're talking about vanity metrics, these are outwardly facing numbers that appear as if they mean something, but they actually don't. So these are your follower counts, the number, you know, on LinkedIn, like 500 plus, you know, that number, any likes really at this point on your content, because it is not truly an engagement metric anymore that they're really using to use in the algorithm. So it's anything like that, anything that is outwardly focused that doesn't actually tell us the real story of your business, which is, are people clicking through to your website? Are they actually purchasing your downloadable recipe kit? You know, like these are things that actually matter versus those follower, like whatever count.
And I have definitely downloaded whatever recipe kit you were just talking about.
I have five of them, I'm sure.
Matter. Okay, so you said it doesn't. You don't need a gabillion followers. You could just have that niche. But when you're starting out, it's so, for me, it was like so awkward to be like, here's how you do this with lead gen and blah, blah, marketing. Here are my 20 followers. Like, and it's like there's that balance of, I really do know what I'm talking about, but I haven't grown that base yet. So where does confidence play into that? How can people trust their gut and be like, just keep going? Because I do know what I'm talking about. I just don't have that following at this point.
Yeah. So we're all going to channel Dory, right? Just keep swimming here. And how I help people overcome that issue of like, oh my gosh, but nobody's really listening or nobody's here, is to truly center the client. So what we do is we actually, you know, every solopreneur has heard, let's get really clear about who your client is. And I want you to actually write that person like on a little post-it that you can put right next to the camera that you're talking to. And that way, it doesn't feel like you're speaking into a void. You're actually speaking to one particular person, right? You're focusing in on, what do I need to tell? For me, I love working with, you know, people at the beginnings of their businesses. So like, what do I need to tell this person about their social media in order to get them to that next step today? And that way, it's no longer about you. You know, because when you're focusing on the followers or, you know, did anybody watch this video, you make it about yourself. But when you truly center your client and center what they need to hear, even if one person sees it, you know that you've made that connection and it's working.
This person that you're talking to on a post-it note on your monitor, would you call this a persona? Is this like somebody that you've kind of specced out as, you know, kind of characteristics, age range, education level, job title,
yeah,
or whatever?
That kind of stuff. And also, you know, like, what drink are they having? If you go to the bar, what are they watching on TV right now? You know, like really get clear about that. I like to use the example. I have this client, Bob, and Bob is not a millennial. he's not even elder millennial. And his ideal client, we call her the lady about town, right? The lady about town is in her late 60s. She's about to retire or retired. She's got a lot of discretionary income. She loves to drink martinis with her friends. The lady about town. So when Bob is making content, he is speaking to the lady about town, and he knows very clearly who that is.
That's a great point. So, okay. So narrowing it down to that one person can kind of take the scary out of posting everything. But here's the thing. Video is also very scary.
Very scary.
Yeah. I was telling you earlier, like, I don't, if I was put in front of a room of 10,000 people, it wouldn't scare me. I used to do stand-up comedy. I do not have that stage fright fear that, like, what, isn't that like the number one fear people have?
Yeah.
That for whatever reason. However, putting a video on social media, I am just so awkward with it. Joe and I have talked about it a million times. How can people get comfortable with video specifically?
Do you mind if we get more specific with you about what that fear might be?
Exposed. Yes, let's do it.
Okay, great. So when you think about opening up your camera and getting ready to do a live, let's say, what is it that's coming to mind? What is the fear for you?
So we joke that my husband's the best. He's very loving, but he does say that I speak in cursive because I talk so quickly. Right. So I think part of it is just like stumbling over my words a little bit. I don't know. It just feels very exposing, I guess. Like you're just, it feels like a very vulnerable state. I don't know if I have any actual basis for that, but it just, that's yeah. the feeling I get. And Joe and I, we had a TikTok phase that,
exciting.
That is no longer.
Joe says no, you all.
We're done with that phase. But it was something that I feel like, what's the opposite of an elder millennial, a younger millennial? And I think generations like after us just can so quickly be like, la, 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 like, get ready with me, blah, blah, blah. And for me, I had to do 10, 15 recordings to get that one. And maybe they do also, and I just don't see it. But I felt like a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Like I needed to be a perfectionist almost for something that shouldn't look perfect.
Great. So we've got that you're feeling super vulnerable and that you have like this perfectionist technique around it. Joe, what were you going to say?
No, I was just curious. You're talking about the Solopreneur Success Secrets videos.
Yeah.
These little short reels. We put them on YouTube, in TikTok.
Yeah,
Instagram.
We put them on YouTube also.
And yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it was kind of fun. Didn't do a lot. We probably should have stuck with it, but it was, I was just curious. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
I would love to continue doing those videos. And not necessarily.
Would you?
In theory.
Yeah.
But not as much from a, here's your success secret number 42, but just as a, okay, you guys, I just finished this interview with Warren Litt. It was so awesome. Like, just more off the cuff. And I, yeah, anyway. Okay, so sorry, I cut you off, but I want to
know
if you were going to go with that.
No, that's good. Okay, so it sounds like you do have a real fear of being harmed on the platform. That's that vulnerability, right? And also, you're very proud of the work you do, and so you only want to put out the best. So there's two things we need to coach around right here. Number one is, yes, there are trolls online. It is a vulnerable space and people can be mean to you. So we need to address that fear and talk about, okay, what would that actually look like if someone were to say that my hair was extra frizzy today, or, you know, get really personal about something because I'm a woman and I don't know what I'm saying, like whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to create a plan for what the action would be if that were to happen. And when that plan is in place, I find that people feel a lot more comfortable because they're like, okay, well, if the worst were to happen, here's my plan of action and here's how I'm going to take care of that. And I know I'm going to be safe because it is a scary place. I myself, many, many years ago, was doxxed, you know, in a really scary way where my phone number was released and people were calling and leaving very terrifying voicemails on my phone. So this is truly a scary place. Like, I understand that very well. And to just say like, well, I feel vulnerable and that's just silly. Like, no, you really need to think that through and be like, what am I scared of and how can I protect myself from this? So that's one piece. And it's probably not going to happen, you know, but it could. The other piece, the perfectionist piece, when you first learned to walk, were you perfect?
So perfect. I was like,
Carly.
Yeah. I am like child prodigy walker.
You just like took a step. You're like, I got this, you all.
No, I was not perfect.
Anything we start. And this is really, social media shows us this more than anything else, I think, that if you start something and you do it for 30 days, okay, fine. When you do it for a year, when you've done it for 2 years, 3 years, that's when you start to get really, really good. And a lot of us, especially when we're talking to solopreneurs, people at the beginning of their journey, like, you know this because the first year in business is your hardest year. It is the worst. I don't know how anybody gets past it, you know, but like at some point, the things that felt really difficult become easier. And it's the same way with social media. You are doing a new skill set and you have, you know, entertainment background, which is fabulous. You're going to do fantastic if you can tell a joke because people love that. But it's a different form of storytelling, right? It's a very short form of storytelling where you don't have an hour or 15 minutes or even 5 minutes to really get through your point. So it's going to take practice to get better at it.
Practice, Joe. Well, and that's what's so funny is we do these interviews all the time, and I'll like swing in like 2 minutes ahead of time and be like, all right, let's do this. And it doesn't seem scary to me, but we're on video right now. I have my camera on and this will be released to the interwebs and it's fine.
And you were like that when we first started doing video, and I was really uncomfortable too, but
that's,
you know, but we've gotten, you know, even when we first started doing audio podcasting in the beginning, it was pretty uncomfortable at first. I mean, at least I thought it was. It took me a little while before I, you know, said, okay, I'm feeling all right about this. But
yeah, and like, I've been shocked when people are like, oh my gosh, you're so confident on your profile. I just love watching you. I'm like, you do? Because like in my head, there's still that voice. You know, I call her Karen. She's a real B-I-T-C-H. And, you know, like she is still saying those things to me. So we all hear this, you know, we're all experiencing it. And even if you think someone is absolutely perfect and fabulous, they're having second guesses and wondering about tripping over a word or whatever. But the other thing is, the perfectly, perfectly, perfectly produced content doesn't perform as well as me walking down the street and like, oh my God, my dog stopped and now I have to, you know, handle this real life situation. People are more interested in you when you're a human.
Yeah.
That's so true. For me, I see these highly produced videos. I'm like, yeah, swipe, you know, next one. And then you see somebody like just kind of, I don't know, just shooting straight.
Yeah.
And that's engaging. I agree.
Like, I cannot tell you how many people I follow who sit in their car and talk to me. I'm like, yes.
That's what I aspire to do, is sit in my car and record myself. Dream big, guys. Well, Lauren, it was so funny because you said something about frizzy hair, which you're watching this on YouTube. Lauren has fab hair, so I don't know what she's talking about. But correct me if I'm wrong, you have something related to like your hair routine and social media. What is that? When you said that, it reminded me. And I was like, oh, I meant to ask you about this.
So I like to say that your approach to your content on social media should be a lot more like my hair routine. And what I mean by that is I have super curly hair. If you can't see it, I have 2C3A curls, which means they're really big. Joe, you probably have very curly hair as well.
Yeah, but I've never had it measured in terms of a code.
2C3A? You might be a 2C, 2B, 2C curl. Yeah. Yeah. It's a larger wave.
Joe, your appointment tomorrow. Joe, you should ask your barber.
I am desperate to get to that hair. It's late. So, but I got to show you a picture of me when I was in a rock band in the 70s.
Please.
You'll see my curls.
Okay. If I do not see this posted on your LinkedIn when this episode comes up, we have all failed.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so I've got this big hair, right? And what that means is I cannot wash my hair every day. If I wash my hair every day, one, it takes me about an hour and a half to 2 hours to wash it, plop it, dry it, put all the stuff in it, and then scrunch. Like, it's just a very long, very intense process. And that means I would lose 2 hours of my day every day. So if we're talking about content, if we're talking about taking that to an online space, a really good piece of content, especially when you're getting started, could take you an hour to 2 hours because it's a new skill that you're learning. You will not have the time as a solopreneur to put that excellent content out every day or even twice a day, but you can probably put that excellent piece of content out once a week. And if you were to do a once a week content plan with engagement on the side, you are already ahead of about 80% of the people out there, right? On LinkedIn specifically, I think it's something like 86% of people post less than one time a week. So the bar is really low to actually be a quote unquote consistent poster.
Joe, we post 5 times a week at minimum.
Y'all are doing great.
Joe, the literal rock star, is now a social media rock star.
Yes, he is.
It's not easy 5 times a week, though. I'll give you that. I mean, it's there's this time that goes into that, especially if you want it to be worthwhile. You know, I mean, it's easy enough to. I see some of the stuff people post, and I'm like, oh wow, that was really took a good part of 30 seconds. But a lot of people do great stuff, and so if you want to post, I think it's not worth doing it unless you're willing to put something out that's helpful.
And no. My prediction for this year, you know, we've got everybody is really leaning into AI tools. And I do think there is a time and a place for AI in helping you create content is definitely part of it. But If you just take the AI posts and throw them up, you are like every other person out there. So what can you do to set yourself apart? How can you put your own spin on what's coming out of our lovely friend ChatGPT?
Mm-hmm. We always joke that, like, and for people that have listened to our podcast, they've heard this a million times, but if Delve is in your social media post or emojis to the extreme,
like too many emojis,
that's for sure taken directly from ChatGPT.
Absolutely.
One of my recent posts on LinkedIn was confessing that I have a fear of emojis because I don't know if I'm using them right. So I started using ChatGPT to put, when I want to use some emojis, I have ChatGPT put them in for me to make sure I'm using the right ones because it's damn good at them.
Yeah, it is obsessed with emojis. We want to be like, calm
down. Don't change the words, but make the dashes into emojis. And then I delete 3/4 of them because it goes nuts. But
the new debate as to whether the prayer emoji is that or a high five.
Oh, people think it's a high five.
There's like a new thing where people are like, is that actual like a prayer emoji or is it a high five?
It's a prayer because it's at the bottom. If it was at the top of the screen and we saw little hands.
But if you go look right at it, now it's like, whoa, everything
you can't unsee
I know.
That. Yeah, somebody put that on my post, right?
Yeah, and was you that, can't unsee yeah. it once you see it.
Oh, no.
I know. I've forever changed your life. You're welcome. Well, speaking of all the confusion with this, the other quotable thing you left me with when we were, or I was intrigued by before you and I hopped on, or before all three of us hopped on the phone. You talk about living in the messy middle with social media. What does that mean?
And that's because I am a recovering perfectionist forever and ever. And what I mean by that is I know I'm not going to be as good today as I will be in a year. I've already said this, but like I embrace my mistakes. You know, I just put up a really quick reel on my personal account like a couple days ago. And I didn't notice before I posted it, but the caption that I'd picked kind of, because Instagram was having its lovely issues, kind of cut off some of the word. And it was like a little ugly and a little messy. And I was like, well, I could take the whole thing down and try to recreate my timing and the little like thought that I had had, or I can just leave it. And I left it. You know, it's doing great. I have like 11 comments on it. I'm happy. I'm happy with where it is and the engagement, because the point isn't, let me show the world how perfect I am. The point is, how can I connect with you and get some engagement going right now, right?
I am so happy you just said 11 comments, because the thing that I want to reiterate with solopreneurs is so many of us only need a handful of clients, and you don't need to speak to the entire world. A lot of solopreneurs need 2 or 3 people to fund their bank account, and that's it. And so sometimes people are like, well, I need 1,000 comments or 1,000,000 shares to make a post successful. That is not true. If you have 11 comments and it is your target audience and it's who you're really talking to, that's awesome. So I'm so glad you said that.
I saw at Inbound this past September, I saw this guy, Dale Bertrand, speak, and he was talking more about content marketing, but I think it applies across the board. And he said, all the stuff we're doing with content, and I think a lot of what people are doing with social media, doesn't lead to conversions. It doesn't lead to customers or even, you know, to leads that could maybe become customers. It just, you know, I could probably put out some great story about some wonderful thing that happened with my kids when they were little, and people would love it, and I get all kinds of responses and hearts, and it's not going to convert. And this is, you know, one of the things a lot of the content we put out there is the same thing. It's like people might consume it. I wrote an article a few years ago at my last company, my last startup, and I wrote about shopping in the 22nd century. It was a comedy thing I did because I'd been asked to predict shopping in 10 years.
Oh, God.
And I said, I can't do that, but I can do the 22nd century. So I wrote this comedic blog for our company, Trade Area Systems, and it became the number one hit on Google for life in the 22nd century. Didn't do a damn thing for the business. Not one customer, nothing, but there I was getting tons of clicks. So, you know, it was a lesson for me, like, yeah, stick to the knitting, you know, focus.
There's two things that came up for me while you were sharing. Number one is the conversion rates are so low, but as you pointed out, Carly, like, we don't need many for our business. For my business, I'm looking for 9 more clients this year. I can serve 10 in this VIP experience that I've created. I can only serve 10 people in a year. That's all I want to do. That's all I need, right? So I need 9 more connections this year. the percentages that we're talking about, if you have a super highly engaged account, 3% of everybody that follows you is going to click through and get on your email list. And then we have to think about, okay, and maybe 6% of the people from your email list are going to buy from you. It's tiny, tiny, tiny numbers, right? That's why people get all obsessed and worried about how many people are following me, how many people are on my email list, all that stuff. But the better your engagement rates are, the more people are going to want to click through, and you see those percentages go higher. That's when I was talking about the micro niche accounts, these 3,000 follower accounts. Their percentage rates can be something like 10, 11%. That's huge. You know, my personal account, I have like 760 followers. I'm the worst social media person ever. That's why I know your pain. I struggle to post too. But like on my own personal account, my engagement rate is 10 to 15% always. No matter when I'm posting, if I haven't posted in a while, like when I go in and I look at all of the people watching things, all of the people commenting, all of the people liking, I'm getting a 10 to 15% engagement rate based on the month. That's unheard of. Now, I also have a tiny account and I'm very engaged with my followers. I treat them like people, you know? The other thing that you talked about, Joe, is saying like, oh, I'd created this post that was, you know, my kids, or I wrote this thing about shopping in the 22nd century. That's what I call your give content. It's content that has nothing to do with your business, but is going to connect with your followers. I talk about my dogs a lot. People really like to hear about my dogs. Nobody's clicking on my link because I've talked about Viola's PT and how good she did today, you know, but they are going to be like, Lauren's a relatable human. That's so funny that she spends so much money on her dogs. You know, like they feel closer to me now. And so when I do get around to that 20% of content that's saying, hey, I've got 9 more spots this year, they're more likely to be like, I want to learn more about Lauren and her programs. So that's the other thing to think about when you're sharing
content.
Interesting
perspective. Yeah. Very different from how I was thinking about it.
How do you think about it?
Well, I'll just say, I always think every post has to be targeted toward adding value to my target market, if you will, you know, to my prospect. And, you know, I hadn't thought about the idea that maybe doing something a little off just to be relatable and human and fun might be worthwhile. It's just, you know, I have to noodle on that because that's not how my brain was working.
Well, let's go back to Bob, my client Bob and his Lady About Town, right? That client, when she's, you know, this hoity-toity woman who's about to retire, she's got lots of discretionary income, she freaking loves a Wine Wednesday post, you all. Bob does not sell wine. He doesn't sell it in his store. It is not something that he is part of. He appreciates a glass of wine. But when we share Wine Wednesday, oh my gosh, are those women liking and sharing and following. And then when we share about the olive oil that he sells, they're like, oh yeah, Bob's great. He gets me, you know, and they go and they buy whatever new olive oil is in the store. So it's a balance, but it's important to do because it makes us human.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love the idea of like just tailoring everything to your own business, because so many people just they do what they think they're supposed to do or look for the numbers that they think they should look for. And this, it's so funny because he is in agreement with this, but a year or two ago, we were going back and forth about having a Facebook page and whether or not we needed a Facebook page. And I was over Facebook at that point. Like, I was just like, nope, I don't want it anymore. We don't have a Facebook page. But since that's like I feel like for starting solopreneurs, the first thing they think of with social media, they're like, I need a Facebook page. And I want to know what your take is on that, just because it's something that we talked about so much. And I actually have a friend who's starting a business, and her first thing was, oh, I need to get my Facebook page up. And I had my opinions, but what are yours?
So we're seeing a really interesting resurgence in Facebook engagement. I don't know what they've changed. I don't know what's happening. But as of like November of 2022, I don't have any clients that are except for Bob, because of his ideal base. But I don't have any other clients who are on Facebook and actually post regularly on Facebook. Most other people are what we call like in a holding pattern, where once a month we're just putting a post just to be like, the business is alive. You know, here's the best performing post from LinkedIn. We're just popping that onto the Facebook page. Complete duplication. But out of nowhere, these holding accounts started to get more engagement and followers. And we were like, we haven't been posting more than once a month. It's not like the content all of a sudden got so much better than it was, you know, before then. So I think Facebook realized that we were all like, we hate Facebook. We don't want to be on here anymore. And they pushed too far about how they were doing Facebook. So I like to say, when you start your business, grab every platform that you can, at least so you own your name. And then you're going to put up, you know, the banner, make sure your logo's the same on everything. And on every platform that you are not going to be spending time on, you're going to pin a post to the top that says something like, hey, thanks for finding me on Facebook. I'm not here very much. Come find me on Instagram at Get Social Happy. And then they know, oh, you are in business. I know where to find you if I actually want to follow you.
So I have a question. That's a really good idea. And I actually thought about that. And Joe, maybe we should put that on our Facebook page. But it's still up.
It exists. Yeah.
Check. Does Facebook knock you at all for that? I mean, I would assume not if you go to Instagram, since it's all under Meta.
You can put LinkedIn. You can put whatever you want. They're not going to knock you at all.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Because for some reason, I thought that if you were to do that, they'd be like, well, we don't want to send them to a competitor. So
it is an outbound link, you know, and posts with outbound links don't get as much reach as posts with no outbound link. But, and that's true on every platform, but our goal isn't reach. Our goal is when someone puts in little shameless plug, you know, on Google, all of those things that pop up, which Facebook is going to pop up, LinkedIn's going to pop up, all of these companies pay a ton of money to be on page one of Google. Like, I don't even know if my website, which is not good, please don't go to my website, shows up on page one. So you just want to make sure that, like, okay, if I'm in business, where are people finding me? And do I look in business if that's the place that they're going?
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, you settled it.
But you don't have to post all the time.
That's wonderful. What I've gotten from this episode is to be confident, be you, and talk to that one person, and everything else will kind of take care of itself. But I guess those would be my parting words. If you could leave our audience with your parting words and your advice for social media when you are first starting out, what would it be?
The reason why I do what I do is because I'm so clear about how powerful these platforms are. And if you're alive at all today, you know that we live in a really interesting environment and an interesting world. And if you've started a business, it's because you have a calling. And I don't care if it's to sell olive oils like Bob, or if it's to be a coach and help someone through a divorce. Like, you have a calling and a bigger reason for life. And if we can take these platforms and share our message and share our own way of making the world a better place, I think we're all doing our part. So that's what I want to leave y'all with.
Your parting words are much more profound than mine. So thank you for sharing that. And Lauren, we ask all of our guests this question because we are always so curious what people have to say. What is your favorite quote about success?
I'm so excited to share. The way you do everything is the way you do anything, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I like it.
Recursive.
Makes you think. I like it. We haven't heard that one yet too. We have some repeats on here a lot. A Lauren original, unless, is it a Lauren original?
No, it's definitely not. I think people like the Dalai Lama, some people say, other people, like, there's a lot, because I looked it up once I finally was like, oh, I have a quote and I'm going to share it. Nobody knows who said it first.
All right. Well, we'll anonymous it.
Yep.
Well, Lauren,
Claim it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do not do that to me.
Lauren Litt or the Dalai Lama?
With a dash.
They'll be like, look at this woman. Well, she's Lauren, a Karen.
You were telling us to not send people to your website because it is a work in progress. So
yes, please don't.
Want to learn more about you and become one of the 9 people that you can work with this year.
Yay.
They find you.
Please come visit me on Instagram. I practice what I preach, which is that I really focus on one platform and make sure I'm really good at that before I spread my wings. So come on over to Instagram. My brand new Instagram account is at Get Social Happy. And I promise if you come follow me, I will give you a shout out. We'll say hi and I'll answer any social questions you got.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Joe, I'm feeling more confident. Bring on the camera. Let's do this. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today as well. This has been so great. And as usual, I mean, Joe, what do we want to end the show with? What do we want to make the ask? 5 stars?
Five.
Subscribe, 5 stars. Rate, review.
5 stars. Yeah. We love 5 star reviews, yeah, especially on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to our show. Subscribe on YouTube. Refer a friend. Shout it in the grocery store. How awesome the aspiring solopreneur is, we would so appreciate it. And until next time, we will see you next week and have a great day.
You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At LifeStar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestar with two R's.com.